You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for junior and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier.
Welcome back to Study Clicks podcast with your hosts Ness and Emer, as always, but this is a very special episode. It's the first episode of the Study Clicks podcast where we have an expert guest that we can talk to, which is brilliant. We're a bit clueless on this topic. Our expert today is an expert in everything to do with career guidance. So whether you know what you're doing or whether you don't know what you're doing, this is really a podcast for people who are getting their results for Leaving Cert 2020. If that's you, whatever kind of situation you're in, we recommend that you would keep listening because this podcast is for you. So our guest for this podcast is career guidance expert Donica O'Mahony. You might know him if you follow him already on Leaving Cert Guidance on the Instagram. He has recently launched his own podcast for Leaving Cert Guidance. So if you're looking for more information there, we would highly recommend you look into that for more kind of specific topics relating to what you want to do after you finish school. But for now, Donica is going to be talking to us about everything to do with Leaving Cert 2020 results. So welcome to the Study Clicks podcast, Donica.
Thank you very much. And it's great to be on. And thanks for asking me on. I've actually listened to a few of your episodes. And so I've been very impressed. Did I hear right? Am I the first guest ever to be on?
Well, we had a student guest on. We had Celine.
Okay. Oh, Celine's going to be really mad that I forgot about her.
Celine, who chatted us through biology and physics. Celine also works for Study Clicks. You're our first outsider guest.
I'm honoured, so.
Yeah, so you're kind of our guinea pig for guest podcasts. Okay, so I think the first thing is this universal feeling, I'm sure, amongst our listeners, which is this feeling of nerves, probably maybe excitement for some, relief, like this idea of the night before and can't sleep or can't stop thinking about the next day. Myself and Nessa were chatting earlier. We were saying like we can both still remember so clearly the night before and how we felt and sort of the nerves running up to the moment that you're going to get your exam results. And I feel like this year that feeling is going to be doubled or even more intense because of the unique circumstances and maybe a bit of uncertainty that there are around the results this year. Do you have any advice for having the right mindset, having the right attitude, maybe calming nerves before getting your results?
Yeah, it's difficult, and I suppose everybody has a different approach. I was lucky when I was doing my Leaving Cert. I actually enjoyed it so much I did it twice. I wasn't ever one really to stress over exams or results or anything like that. And then I knew people who, you know, had to take medicine to stop them getting so excited and anxious and things like that. So it depends on the approach of the people. I think some people need to be a little bit nervous. Some people are happy to be a bit more relaxed. I think whatever works best for the person.
Yeah. And in terms of if people are expecting the worst going in there, which I'm sure a lot of people I know, when the news came out about the predicted grades and people were saying, oh, this is it for me because I did awful in the mocks and I did awful in my Christmas tests and this isn't going to work for me at all. But at the same time, they probably don't want to have to do the exams in November either.
Yeah.
They don't have to repeat. So if people are going in with this very bad attitude, is there any way to, what would you say to try and get them to think or to see this in a good way, not try to stress too much about going in there?
Yeah. Well, from my perspective as a guidance counsellor, I would encourage each student to have plans for best and worst case scenarios. Best case scenario is obviously your first choice in the CAO or whatever your first choice might be. Best case scenario, I'll accept that. Worst case scenario is you don't get any CAO offer. And what are your options then? Make sure you've plan A, B, C, D, E, and F. And I think if you go in with that approach and you're happy with plan B, C, D, E, and F, I don't think it's going to bother you as much. I think if you're going in with the thought that I have to get my first choice and that's that, that's where it's going to be difficult. That's where anxiety sets in. I think you need to look at it from a point of view as, okay, if I don't get the first one, this is my second choice. I would be really happy to get that. or I'm going to try a PLC, or I'm going to sit the exams in November, or I'm going to appeal next week, whatever the case may be. Know what your plans are, know what order your plans are in. And I think that will reduce the anxiety if you can do that.
Yeah. And something that we repeat a lot on the podcast when we're sort of giving advice about staying calm and having the best attitude and things like that is this, Nessa, you love repeating your thing.
Oh, yeah. One of my favorite pieces of advice, and I'm sure anyone who's actually listened to quite a few episodes of the Cyclist podcast is like, oh God, here she goes again with this piece of advice, like she's Confucius or something. But my favorite piece of advice is that if something is, you can never change the situation that's going on, but you can change how you feel about it. You're never in control of a situation. So in terms of the, you know, everything that's going on with 2020 as a general time, everything to do with the pandemic is completely out of your control. So you can't control what's happening, but you can control what you feel about it. And that is just something you have to always hold on to. Especially now, like with the predicted grades, everything has been taken out of students' hands. What's done is done. You can't kind of think back on what you could have done differently. You just have to kind of focus on the present situation, and there's no use in just constantly worrying, because there's really nothing you can do to change that. But you can adapt a positive attitude, and even if you do that, that's half the battle.
I would agree with that 100%. You know, there's a lot of things out of your control, and there's always these sayings about control what you can control. Nobody can control what grade they've got now, the calculated grades. I notice you guys say predicted grades, but I think teachers are keen to let everyone know they're calculated grades. This isn't a prediction we're making. There's a big calculation has gone into this.
It was called the predicted grades that the teachers gave, but then it was calculated grades would be the final kind of result, is it?
No, calculated grades from the start.
Okay.
No predicted. There was no predictions made. This was a calculated model and formula.
Okay.
Do you want to talk us through, so basically, Donica, what is a predicted grade? Sorry, what is a calculated grade, actually?
Yeah, and it's important to know that it is calculated grades. It's just sometimes when I hear prediction that, you know, that it sounds like teachers are just pulling this grade out of the air and saying, look, that's what I think that. But what there was, study went into it. Teachers had to go back over fifth and sixth year, look at homework, look at tests. Now they all would have had all these results recorded and things like that, but look at all these Christmas tests, summer tests, even mocks, and kind of come up with a way of giving a grade based on that. And you know, teachers did have to take into consideration that students were going to have 3 more months to study. Maybe a student would have had a reader or someone to write for them, or whatever the case would be. All those things had to be taken into consideration. So a lot of things had to be taken into consideration, then brought to a special group who also taught the same subject in that school, and came up with, you know, showed evidence for their grades. The same with the principal or deputy principal, you know, here are the grades, here's the evidence for the grades. And there was a ranking order as well. So you put, it wasn't just a grade you gave a student, it was a percentage. And based on that percentage, there was a rank order in the class as well, which helps when you send it to the Department of Education, where they have an algorithm to be as close as possible to previous year's Leaving Cert results. Because if you ever look at the results, they're quite similar every year. You know, the subject, more or less every year that gets the least amount of H1s is English. And if you look back over the last few years, it's always English. And with that being said, if you look at over the last few years, the subject that got the least amount of H8s was actually English as well. So that kind of stays as a steady stream, and they wanted to keep that going because there's thousands and thousands of students applying this year who don't have calculated grades. Their grades are from previous year's Leaving Certs. And it would have been unfair to them if teachers were just giving everyone A, Bs and Cs, and they're trying to compete for a university place as well. So there were so many things to take into consideration. It was a very difficult thing to do, and I didn't envy the person who was coming up with this idea, but I think it's the best in a bad situation.
Yeah. And do you know what considerations are made? Like, let's say I'm a student in a school that has typically poorer results than the neighbouring school who gets a tons of H1s. But I know I've done really well and I've studied really hard, but I'm now worried that because of the previous results in my school that I'm going to be graded down. Are there considerations like that, for example?
There are considerations. So Norma Foley, the Minister for Education, has said we are taking these things into consideration. And I suppose people are worried because in the UK, people from disadvantaged areas, a lot of their grades were brought down. So I know in England, I think it was 37% of grades were brought down, 36% in Northern Ireland. So it was a huge amount. But quickly to respond to that, the minister came out and said, we're taking all of that into consideration, that there will be exceptions to the rule. Because I know some magnificent students who came from very poor disadvantaged areas or socioeconomic backgrounds who did phenomenal in their Leaving Cert. So they do need to take that into consideration. And I think that they will. They don't want the backlash from it.
Yeah. So very unofficially, do you see any kind of drama surrounding this whole thing on September 7th?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the way it's going to work is the results will be brought out on the 7th of September. Then you'll have your first round CEO choice. The first round CEO offers will be brought out on Thursday. The 11th. Anyway, it's the 11th of September. And then you can make an appeal on the 14th of September. So I suppose I'd imagine that they're hoping that people who get their CEO offer or happy with their CEO offer won't want to appeal. As the appeals process is very, very different this year. It's not the same as it has been in previous years. You're appealing not the grade that the teacher gave you, but how that grade was transmitted to the Department of Education. So if you got 62%, that didn't go over to the department and it became 26% or whatever the case may be. So the only way you can see what grade your teacher gave you is if you appeal on the 14th of September. And then you can go in and see what percentage the teacher gave you.
Okay. If a student is unhappy with the result their teacher gave them, is there a different process for appealing that, or you just have to accept it?
You'll have to accept it. And well, see, the good thing about this year, I suppose, is if you don't like it, you can sit the exam. So we were told in the end of July, with public health advice, that the exams will take place in November. So if they take place in November, if you're not happy with your grade, you still have an opportunity to sit the exam. And to me, like I said earlier, it's the fairest method in a bad situation, because if you're not happy with your grade, we're still giving you the opportunity to sit the exam.
And okay, so let's talk about the exams in November. It's, as I understand it, at least, it's you don't have to sit them all. You can choose which ones you want to resit. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So if I'm really happy with 5 of my results, but I really want to resit biology, let's say, I assume there's another sort of timetable. Is that what we're expecting? That biology will take place on a certain day across the country?
Yeah, it'll be like the Leaving Cert, I'd imagine. Now, there's very little information about it, but I can't see it going any other way than, yes, there will be a timetable. There'll be a certain time you'll have to sit the exams. Again, this is all with public health advice. So, you know, the way things are looking right now, I can't see it taking place in November. But, you know, these things change very quickly. So hopefully they will take place.
Yeah, it's also worth saying, just for listeners, that this is recorded on the 20th of August. So if there are any changes to what we're saying in the meantime, we apologise. But this is the up-to-date information as of the 20th of August. So, but anyway, back to sitting the exams in November. My question was, yeah, so it works in that you obviously would then have to go to college the following year. You don't get to go in that year, obviously, because you would have started the year already.
Yeah, so by the time the exams are done, sent away, corrected, whatever else, it'll be too late by the time you get your result to sit in college that year, 2020, 2021. So it will be 21, 22 before you can start. But if you go up a grade, if you go up a couple of grades and you go up on the CEO offer, then you're guaranteed to get that place based on the 2019-2020 points, that year, that academic year.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, and you can also combine your calculated grades with the papers you sat, the exams you sat. Mm-hmm. So if you're happy with your English, but you're not happy with your Irish, you sit your Irish, you do better. Well, I'm going to combine four of these calculated grades that I got with three of these or two of these grades that I sat, the exams that I sat.
Mm. And I think before, like, the idea of sitting the exams in November, for me, when I was trying to put myself in the student's shoes and say, God, I'd hate to have to wait another year, and I'd hate to have to do it in November and then have to go to college a year after everyone else. But after, the more I think about it, I'm thinking, well, college this year really isn't going to be the same as it is for everyone else who talks about their, like, freshers year of college and all this. So it's probably not the worst thing to do to sit the exam in November, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've met a lot of students who are planning already on trying to defer their course for a year, if that's the case, because they want to go to a university, college, ITs, third level, whatever the case may be, and enjoy that experience that you spoke about, you know, with your freshers week, even playing sport in school, playing music, going to concerts, everything that university kids do, to enjoy that year and not to be doing online classes from mum and dad's house. It's not what university or college is about.
Yeah.
Wilder, do you predict that there will be an issue the following CAO year that they're, due to the large number of students that will be deferring because they want to have the proper experience on top of leaving certs for 2021?
Do I think there'll be a problem? I don't, because a lot of higher education institutes have their own, well, they all have their own deferral rules. And even departments within universities have their own deferral rules. Some are very, very strict. And always have been very strict. Some are quite lax. Whether they're going to stay relaxed this year will remain to be seen. So there's no guarantee that you're going to get your deferral. If you're looking to apply for a deferral, contact the admissions office of the university you want to go to ASAP, because even some of them will do it on a first come first serve basis. They might say, okay, look, we're given 5 deferrals this year. First to ask for it will get it. So if you're looking at a deferral, contact the admissions office as soon as possible. And there's no guarantee. And they can't have that next year where the incoming 6 years are going to have a more difficult year. They can't put that on them. I don't see that happening.
Okay, so we'll have to make sure that every single listener knows that if you want to defer your course, then do it ASAP, get in contact with them ASAP.
Yeah, I'm sure not a lot of them know about that, because I didn't hear about that. I think people are like, oh yeah, I'll defer, as if it's like something that's just handed to you, like when you get your Leaving Cert results.
Yeah, like so some universities insist that if you want to defer, that you have a medical cert, that maybe a member of your family has passed away, or there's financial issues, it's something that serious. That's what they want from you to get the deferral. Some you just ring and ask and they say, yeah, no problem. They don't even want to know why you're deferring. But some do ask for an excuse as to why you're deferring, and might even ask evidence for that excuse. So it'd be a good idea then, between now and when you get your Leaving Cert results, if you're looking to defer, to figure out what the deferral process is for not alone the higher education institute that you want to apply for to, but even the department that you want to apply to. And even you could ring the admissions office before then and saying, what's the process for the deferral if I get my course next week?
Okay, that's very interesting. So going back to results day and looking at your options, there's one option that people kind of tend to look down their nose at, or they just don't kind of consider, because I'd say it gets a bit of a bad rep. But something that people don't know about is PLCs. Can you talk to us a little bit about those?
Yeah, so post-leaving certificate courses are offered at further education institutes around the country. And to me, they're a phenomenal offering that we have here. And it's ideal for students to help with their transition from secondary school to third level, because that transition can be very difficult and not everybody copes with it very well. And so often there can be dropouts based on the transition not going so well for people. So they offer courses in everything in further education institutes. Now, it mightn't be the one closest to you, but if you keep researching, you will find a further education institute where you will get a course that you want to do. There are fantastic progression routes from PLCs, which means next year, if you did a PLC, you could apply to the CAO as a QQI applicant, so as a PLC applicant. So rather than using your Leaving Cert results, you could use your PLC results. And a lot, well, the majority of college courses around Ireland accept PLC students based on their PLC results. So that's really important to look at. You know, whether that's, I know PE teaching in UCC is a big one for people who've done a sports course. Nursing is a big one. It can be quite competitive, and a lot of them are competitive. But it's certainly worth checking out, not alone for progression routes, but for the opportunity even to enter into the world of work after you've finished your PLC course as well.
Yeah, and I think PLCs are, I think, like Nessa was saying, a lot of the time they're dismissed. And I, for me at least, I never really understood exactly what a PLC consists of. What do you do generally? I think I imagined it as a more practical option. I'm assuming it's probably quite different depending on the field of study you go into. Is there sort of a general overview you can give to give people who don't really know what a PLC is, what it generally entails?
Yeah, so it can be classroom based, it can be lab based, you know, whatever your field is. Like, for example, if you want to do general science in UCD and you haven't got the points for it, you could go to a PLC college and do a course called Laboratory Techniques. And from that, you could apply for that course in UCD and could be successful from it. So again, it depends on the area of study. It can be classroom-based, can be lab-based, can be sports-based, you know, whatever the area of study you're looking at. But not too dissimilar to what you would do in a third level institute. And it would help you gain skills that you need for third level institutes, like essay writing, like lab techniques, like placements that you might need and get you ready for it. You could even figure out, God, this isn't a course for me. I'm glad I only spent a year doing this PLC. Or you could do a year doing a PLC and say, wow, I absolutely love this. I want to go into further study doing this. This is my passion now. So whatever the case may be, but certainly should be an option to look at.
Yeah, it sounds like the perfect bridge, to be honest.
Yeah. I always consider kind of like a transition year. So a transition year, obviously in school, we have between junior cycle and senior cycle, but PLC can be a transition from secondary school to third level. And I always think it gives, and I've never met someone who's done a PLC who haven't liked their experience or didn't put their experience down to being absolutely time well spent. Anything I've always heard from was positive.
That's great feedback. And I'd say as well, it gives, if you're using as a bridge between your Leaving Cert and third level, if you're coming in after doing your PLC, it gives you a serious advantage over people who've just come in after finishing their Leaving Cert, because you have all this knowledge and skills from having done a similar course.
Yeah, so if you're looking at, if you get just below 300 points in your Leaving Cert, you're looking at a 50% success rate to graduate. So generally, students who score just under 300 points, only 50% of them graduate from their level 8 degree. If you look at PLC students who got around the same points, they're up to a 75% graduation rate in their level 8 degree. So it certainly is an advantage.
And aside from PLCs, if you don't get the points you're looking for, I think it's something that not a lot of people know necessarily, or people sort of think, okay, I didn't get the points, my life is over. But from chatting to friends who would have done a similar course and they transferred after a year to get into the course they wanted, from talking to people over time, I found out that there's sort of a lot of back doors, if you will, into courses. Do you have any sort of advice there for people who are disappointed with their results and they don't want to do a PLC? What other options are there?
Yeah, so if you're disappointed with your results, the options are, there's so many options. Like, for example, and a thing that I see is kind of looked down upon more so than anything else are apprenticeships, but there are some phenomenal apprenticeships at the minute. They're not the blue collar apprenticeships that we always think of, but a lot of white collar apprenticeships now in things like insurance, finance, auctioneering, recruitment, all level 8 degrees at the end of it. You can even do accountancy, a level 6 accountancy technician. And these are all earn as you learn experiences. So you might do 4 days on the job and you might do 1 day in college. It's a great mix of kind of vocational and practical learning, you know, where you're in the classroom and you're in the world of work. and they should be really, really considered. I'm so impressed with how Ireland has brought on their apprenticeships in the last few years, and definitely something that should be considered. But besides that, there's available places. So college courses that were not filled up will kind of re-advertise their places, and you can still apply for those. You've got the clearing system in the UK, which is something similar to vacant places here. You've got the opportunity to still apply for courses in Europe. You have the opportunity to repeat. You know, don't worry if you haven't got the CEO offer you wanted, or even a CEO offer at all, because there are so many options.
The way that you're describing apprenticeships and PLCs there as well, they sound so good, and it's just a shame that they're often dismissed. So it sounds even...
Well, the apprenticeships have really come on the last few years. Solis, who run them now, have really put time, money and effort into developing apprenticeships.
Just the way that Donika was describing the apprenticeships, they sounded way more valuable than a bachelor degree.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah, it's something with universities that they're just so much focus on the kind of whole academia side of it and doing your research and doing papers. That's part of the course I'm absolutely allergic to. Yeah, no, it's just interesting. Kind of, I know how people kind of think college or university is like the superior or the better option, but there really is no kind of substitute for like practical learning or, you know, in-house experience, which is, it shouldn't be dismissed too quickly.
Yeah, and I can chime in on that as well. Like, I did a 6-month placement in the real working world, and definitely something that I would really want to bring across maybe to the people listening to this, or because I would have had the same, or that would have been my mindset, I think, before going into college, that like university, college is the best choice, and I wouldn't really think too much thinking about doing anything else. But now thinking back on it, I'm like, I think there definitely needs to be some change around the mindset towards apprenticeships and PLC, because at the end of the day, there's a lot less sort of faffing about than there is at university. Like 75% of my course is doing essays and presentations, whereas like you can't compare that to being out in the actual world and being in these environments you wouldn't normally be in. And there's definitely no reason to be worried about doing something like that, like a PLC, for a year instead of going to college or before going to college. There really needs to be sort of like this mind shift almost, because I think at the moment it's very much like, oh, I have to go to university almost, but it really shouldn't be that way.
And the opportunity to earn money is a big thing. You know, you could earn between 20 and 30,000 a year while you're in an apprenticeship, rather than paying course fees and everything else that comes with it. Now, with all that being said, I'm a big fan of the apprentice route, but as we said earlier, it's that college experience is kind of what I really enjoyed when I was studying. It wasn't the actual hands-on course, but everything else that came with it, the friends you made, you know, the football teams you played on, the concerts you went to, the nights out, all of that kind of came from your real third level experience. It's not just the course. Obviously, the course is very important as well, but I think it's important you do have that experience too.
Of course, yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's more like college, if that's what you want to do, then 100% go do it. But if that's not what you get straight away, or you want to sit the exams in November, then these other options, they're also like a fantastic opportunity that you should consider very seriously.
And it's the idea is not to fret. You know, if you start panicking and getting anxious over everything, just relax, don't panic. What are my options? Speak to your guidance counselor. You know, I didn't get what I want. What's the plan now? What can I do? And they'll lay out a plan for you and will know you well and will be able to give you the best advice about what might suit you.
Yeah, and otherwise they can follow your podcast, Donika, can't they?
Yes.
Or your Instagram.
Yeah, so the Leaving Cert Guidance podcast, we have an episode coming out 31st of August, which is for Leaving Cert 2020 as well. Now, it's not really me talking. I'm kind of more the ignorant questionnaire on it, where I'm asking questions kind of from a student's perspective. So I have some good guests on. I have two guidance counsellors, and I have the head of admissions from Maynooth University, John McGinnity, and they give some excellent, excellent advice. It'd be probably a little bit more formal than this podcast. I like this back and forth kind of chat and conversation. But this is very much, there's your options.
So to kind of wrap things up and kind of get to the end, the final question we'll ask you is, what would you adapt as a mindset? Because I imagine that, like every year, there's always going to be people who are unhappy. So what kind of mindset would you recommend that students get into if they're not happy?
So, you know, the mindset is completely up to you. But as we said earlier, if you have plans set in place that if things don't go well, and maybe your plan might be as simple as, I need to meet my guidance counsellor, because on the 7th of September, when you guys get your Leaving Cert results, guidance counsellors are actually being made available that day. They won't be in class or anything. They'll be available to students all day on that Monday. So you can ring the school and chat with them. And if really needs be, I think it'll be very much a last resort, but if really needs be, you can even go into the school, only if you've made an appointment, and speak with your guidance counsellor. Maybe that's your plan, or your plans could be something that you come up with yourself. But I think it will take away a lot of the anxiety if you guys can have plans set in place, that if plan A doesn't go well, you know, here's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, that is the key, really, to reducing stress and anxiety, is just to have a plan in place, because that kind of stress happens when you don't understand what's going on or you don't know what you're doing. So if you can...
At 18 or 19 years of age, you have to really believe that the world is your oyster. You know, it's not the end of the world if you don't get your first CEO offer, or first on your list. Definitely not. So try not to worry too much about it.
Yeah. And it's also not the end of the world if you're still not sure about what you want to do, because, I mean, so many people I know have completely changed their minds about what they want to do. And sometimes it's an awful lot to ask of young people to kind of decide what they want to do so early on in their life. Since we've gone beyond the CEO stage, in terms of getting the course that you want, that as long as you have some kind of a plan, that's kind of the best way to be, to reduce anxiety and stress.
So the main message, I suppose, is there are countless options for you. Don't freak out. It'll all work out for you in the end.
And I know it's easy for us to say that. And it's not meant as flippant or anything or disparaging. But I suppose the three of us have been through the system. And it's only when you look back that, look, it's not the end of the world. It really isn't. But it is difficult to tell an 18 or 19 year old who's going through it at that time, because that's their entire world, that really it's not the end of the world. But, you know, it's not.
Yeah, and what I've mentioned a couple of times before, what always gets me through difficult periods, or if I'm really nervous about something, or if I'm dreading something, I just always try to, like, imagine a point in the future where I know that thing isn't going to be annoying me, or I know that I'm going to be past the point of dreading it. Like, whether it's 10 years in the future or whether it's an hour in the future. You know, like, for example, I remember doing my driving tests. I just kept focusing on the hour ahead of the current hour I was in, because I knew at least then, regardless of the outcome, it'll be over. It'll be out of the way. So I think that's, you know, like you said, it's hard if you haven't gone through that yet, and to try and listen to the advice of people who have. It's not always easy to take that advice and understand it if you haven't experienced it. But just try to think of that point in the future, because, like everything, it'll pass. It'll be gone. You'll find a solution some way. Things will get better.
Well, funny, Emer, what kind of worked for you, that looking to that point in the future? I used to always do that, and then I kind of stopped doing it. So the new approach works for me. And like that, whatever works for you, you should use. But I remember when I became a dad first, I was constantly fretting. What if this happens? What if this happens? I was constantly looking into the future. And I met a friend of mine who said, just take it 1 minute at a time. There's nothing in the next minute that you're not going to be able to handle. And so I try to live like that. But I understand what you're saying about that point in the future, is something similar. But certainly whatever works for you. But for me, from then on, it was, okay, in this next minute, there's nothing I can't handle.
That's a great piece of advice.
Well, it got me through the first year of being a dad, because I was fretting about everything.
That's great. Well, I suppose we'll wrap it up, so will we?
Yep.
Any last words of wisdom?
Have I any last words of wisdom? I think enjoy the process of it. You know, enjoy the process of getting your results. Enjoy the process of chatting with your friends. Enjoy the process of the CEO offers. Enjoy the process of accepting an offer, if that's the case. Getting your starter pack for, whether it's third level or a PLC course or an apprenticeship, whatever you're getting your starter pack for, is just enjoy the whole process of it. Because when you get older, you will look back fondly on when you were 18, 19, 20, and knowing, you know, well, not knowing, actually, the unknown about what was coming down the line and the excitement of it. But it is an exciting time. And really try and stay in the moment and enjoy it if you can.
That's great.
Yeah. And I'd say, regardless of the outcome, don't be hard on yourself, because the situation is so unusual and something that no one else can say they've experienced other than you. And that in itself, having gone through that and making through it and coming out the other end, regardless of the outcome, that in itself is an achievement. So give yourself a pat on the back for that, for getting through such a difficult situation with the whole pandemic.
Couldn't agree more with that. It's, if nothing else, you've built emotional resilience throughout this year and have probably become a stronger person for that.
Yeah. We're jealous of how emotionally strong you are. Great. Well, thank you so much, Donika, for chatting to us.
Yeah, I learned so much.
Me too. I feel like a different person. I kind of want to go do an apprenticeship, to be honest.
I kind of want to do a PLC, yeah.
My work here is done.
But so like we said, we'll hopefully have you on again at some point. Donika will be back to give us more tips throughout the year. So Donika, do you want to let us know your details if people want to follow you?
Yeah, so it's at Leave and Cert Guidance on Instagram, and the podcast is just called the Leave and Cert Guidance Podcast and can be downloaded from Spotify, Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts.
Brilliant.
Nessa, do you want to plug our own social media?
And of course, as always, make sure that you're following Study Clicks on all of our social media platforms. So we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and Snapchat. If you're searching for us on Snapchat, we're study_clicks. Coming up to the start of the year now, we'll be running some competitions over on our Instagram. So we are well worth a follow, as well as lots of fun stuff and study tips. So yeah, make sure you're following us over there as well.
Yeah. So thank you, Donika. Thank you, listeners. And
catch you again next time.
That's it. We'll chat to you next time. Bye.